to Tarqua very late. It's English a half length in front. Can he do it to Tarqua? He's flying. Yes, there's history. Tarqua makes it three in a row.
Wayne Hawkes, or should I say the Uber Eats driver for the Flemington trainers. Good morning to you.
Morning, Gareth. How are you?
You always try and throw poor old Mike Moroney under the bus, don't you, really?
Not hard. The problem is we just don't have a bus big enough these days for the great man. But I wasn't until, I think it was 10.15, 10.45. So I thought I'd sneak down to Baker's Delight and get the boys out in my tower something to eat. So, of course, the first person I rolled into was Mike Moroney's missus. And I walked out with his bag full of stuff. And she goes, uh-huh. I said, they're not for Mike. No, what I said was, one's not for Mike, just most of it. So he's propounding when he gets home tonight.
Now, because you interrupt...
until his dinner.
Because you were yelling at him during the interview that we did earlier on in the day on RSN Central, he didn't hear my question regarding Russian Camelot. Did you take a look at this star stayer at the jump outs this morning?
Well, the funny part is, I was at Baker's Delight.
Okay.
But hang on a second, there's more to it. Truth, I don't actually look at anyone else's horses. I don't look at the opposition. My greatest claim to fame was one morning many, many years ago. It was a long time after, long way past 1996, and said to Reg Fleming at the time, Bart Cummings form, I said, geez, that horse at Canterpark looked like old Saintly. He said, it is. And he was getting ready for the Melbourne Cup Day parade. And I reckon Saintly was 23 at that time. But I wouldn't know Black Caviar. I don't look at other people's horses. I've got blinkers on, and we're not form students. We never ever have been. We're not punters. We've always only ever looked at our own horses, to be totally honest. But I walked through the tunnel and there was Danny O'Brien, and I knew you'd ask Mike, because, Mike's got a span of not much, and I heard you ask him twice. So yep. I asked Danny O'Brien, I said, listen, I've got to go on Wayne's World, and do you mind me asking? He said, no, that's fine. He said, horse trailed up really good. He's not running until the Maccabi Diva, so he's a month away. But he's certainly on track. So that is coming word for word from Danny O'Brien. So he told me that himself. So I didn't see how he went. But you know what? The end result is, if that's what Danny O'Brien's telling you, I don't need to see it, because Danny knows a bit more about the horse than me. But you know what? Horses like him, they need to step up, because we need the new kids on the block. We've had a lot of the three-year-olds that have gone to stud. Just have a look at the Everest field of last year. Most of those horses are gone. I mean, there's no Red Zell, and I don't know whether old Santa Ana Lane's still around or not, but Sunlight was just sold, and you know what I mean? So there's lots of really, really good horses that aren't there, and then you go through the Microphones and the Exceedances and the Brutals and the Castelvecchios and all those great three-year-olds that we had. They're all gone. I think Rogan Bivouac would be the only one... one of the only ones left standing of all the great racehorses. So we need Bivouac, and we need Danny's horse to step up, because we need good horses, and it's as simple as that. And we might have bums on seats, but that's what gets people up and about, is these good horses.
There's a big set of trials in Sydney tomorrow, and I think there's still 10 spots up for grabs regarding the Everest at the moment. So it will be fascinating to watch how that plays out over the next 6 weeks. But from a trainer's point of view, has it been a bit of a headache for Team Hawks? You've got heavy tracks over there in Sydney, but then you've got the border closures here. What do you do? Do you basically, you have your Melbourne horses in Melbourne, and your Sydney horses in Sydney, but usually you like to move from state to state with your team. How much of a disadvantage has this particular period been for your barn there, Wayne?
Well, the first part of the question is the wet tracks. It's unbelievable. Like, you talk to Mike and he's laughing at you, because he's in T-shirt and shorts, and we've got Ugg boots and beanies and, So the weather up there has definitely been much better, but they've just been flogged with the wet weather. And I seen an email just came out before that the acceptance is for Wednesday at Warwick Farm. It's a heavy 10. Well, no disrespect to Warwick Farm, but when Warwick Farm, you only got to spit on that track and it's no good. So, I've got a good horse running there called King's Air, the one that won his first start at Newcastle, and he's going there. So it's not ideally what you want, because I think he's pretty smart, this bloke, and he's like Danny's horse. He's a Kingman. that's a four-year-old, but he's really only three and a half. He's a Northern Hemisphere bred horse. And biggest problem is you're running these horses on really, really wet tracks. Well, if you like it and you get through it, you'll be fine. But if you don't like it, it could finish their whole preparation in one run. Because if they don't like it, it can really literally just about gut them, and especially first up. You know, if they don't like it first up, gee whiz, it's not easy. So they're in a bit of trouble in Sydney with the state of their tracks, because it's not what you want with all these good horses, and they're all going to step out. From our point of view, Gareth, most of the better ones are in Sydney. The weather's warmer. They spelled in Sydney. It's only starting to affect us now with horses coming and going, because we don't generally send them, hypothetically, Sydney down to Melbourne, back to Sydney. But, I mean, we probably would have brought something down for the Vane, which is this Saturday. So, Ole Kirk, he ran second in Sydney on Saturday, Black Caviar's cousin, and he ran super, just didn't really handle the heavy, heavy, heavy conditions. And we sort of half had him penciled in to maybe come down for the Vane and see how he went. Then you got the option of going back. Well, now the rules state that you can't go from a licensed stable in Victoria to a licensed premises in New South Wales. That stuffs us up. So I think that'll change. I think it was just a bit of a knee-jerk reaction from Sydney at the start when everything was, Melbourne was getting screwed right down. But the horses aren't getting it and don't get it. So what does it matter whether the horse goes back to a spelling farm in Sydney or goes straight to, Gay Waterhouse's stable at Ramwick? I don't think that should make any difference, but we need the Sydney horses. There's no doubt about that. I mean, I think Bjorn Baker doesn't, but I reckon the top six, seven stables in Sydney have all got a stable base at Flemington. So I'm sure they will be very light on for their best horses in Melbourne at the moment. And, you know, people like Snowden are always big on getting them down to Melbourne early and quick and taking on the early races and then bringing their second wave through. So we need the carnival to have as many good horses as what we can, because, as I said at the top of the show, Gareth, we need some of these younger horses with potential to step up. So I don't know, but I'd probably think that the better horses are probably, as far as a collective group, I reckon there's probably, this is going to sound bad, more better horses in Sydney than what there are in Melbourne. And then you've got G-Trash and Loving Gabby and Tafane and all trying to probably head north for an Everest spot. We need them to. We need to let the horses move around. And if we've got to stay in half a lockdown, well, so be it. I mean, fair thing for Groundhog Day. We always use that line. But if you just come back from Mars, if it's not Groundhog Day at the moment, I don't know what is. And my only upside is think of those poor buggers in New York that are stuck in high rises with two or three kids in a three bedroom apartment. It's at least we can get up, go to the stables, go to track work and do what we have to do, and we can go and exercise for an hour every afternoon. I've been trying to get Mike Maroney out, but he said it's not his exercise week this week, and he reckons, why would you go to the gymnasium and pay $800 for a membership? He said, for $800, he said, I'd get someone to pedal the bike for me. Probably not a bad comment.
He makes a very good point, Mike. But what about, when do you think a decision will be made by New South Wales to open up the borders? When would you like, from a trainer's point of view, sooner the better, but when is it getting too late?
Well, the truth of the matter is that they need some horses from Melbourne to go to Sydney. In normal years, and I mean, what's normal anymore? Nothing's going to be normal ever again. Our normal's gone now. The world is what it is. We don't have many horses go from Melbourne up to Sydney for a spring carnival. If you take away the three horses for the Everest, I don't know, but I read it publicly that Trent Buss and his wife Natalie were talking about the Tagaloa, the Blue Diamond winner. If things didn't go to plan in Melbourne, they'd go to Sydney for a Golden Rose and things like that. So we don't primarily have that many horses go from Melbourne to Sydney. It's more the influx coming in. And look, we had a year called EI, and that proved to us that we could do anything, because we ran spring carnivals and everything like that, and we didn't have the interstate horses, and we got by, and we won races, and winners were winners. But I said on Sky Channel, it was at racing.com the other day, imagine if you won a big race. I said, you'd be standing there hugging yourself. But then I said, well, I reckon if I won a Caulfield Cup, I'd be probably happy to hug myself and more, Gareth.
Mm. What if, wait, what's the? This is from. I'll move on pretty quickly.
I thought you might. And it's going to be surreal, though. I mean, you know what? The poor. I mean, this is going to sound wrong again, but the poor bugger that wins the Melbourne Cup, he's going to be standing there looking around at nobody. I mean, that's half the hoo-ha, you know, like getting the emotion going and everything like that. And on Saturday at Flemington, talk about three men and a dog. There was no one, and I mean absolutely no one. If you took away the staff that were handling the horses, like from the point of view of the strappers, there was hardly any trainers there. There was no one at the races on Saturday. So it's actually getting less and less. Like, I know there's only we're in a closed shop, but there's actually less and less people going even. So even officials and things like that. So it's just it's like barrier trials. And I said to Lee Jordan on Saturday, I said, geez, so you're going to win the Turnbull, you're going to win a derby, and you're going to turn around, and there's going to be no one standing there with you. So it's going to be a bit, you know, I mean, I reckon you can just about yell out to Matt Hill up in the grandstand, just calling the races, it's that quiet. So it's certainly not going to be the spring carnival that we're used to, but fingers crossed we can have a spring carnival and, you know, some owners can win some races and keep the money injecting back into our industry.
Now, Wayne, we've only got a couple of minutes left, but this is a question from Deb. Hi, Gareth and Wayne. With so many horses coming back for their spring campaigns, what does it mean when they don't trial but go straight to the races after a several-month layoff? Why don't they trial? Hard to know whether to bet on them or not. Yeah. I know I can look at their first-up form, but that doesn't necessarily mean they haven't trialed before their previous first-up efforts. That's from Deb. That's a good question, Deb. Well done.
If a trainer's putting it in first up without having a barrier trial, you've got to back your trainer. It's as simple as that. And a form guru once told me, you have to treat every horse like it's perfect, spot on, and that's how you treat it. So from that point of view, Deb, if a horse is going first up without a barrier trial, he's either short for time and he's pushing, and you know, which is what I would probably think would be the case, that you've got to back your trainer in.
I've had $10 a master of wine. This is from Tom. Is my money going okay at the moment, Wayne?
Tom, your money's going beautifully well, my friend. Right, double up.
Double put up, another Tom. 10 on Tommy boy.
The more you bet, the more you win, Tom.
There you go. Well, you never pun. I hope you follow that up then. You have $20 on master of wine.
I'm not a punter, but I win if he wins. So simple as that.
Good on you, Wayne. We'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks, Gareth.